Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
Been a long time coming. I'm so ecstatic, privileged to be here and share this message with you. Let's begin in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Abba God, we give you so much praise and honor and glory for this morning, God. I'm going to preach your word. I have the privilege this morning of doing so. God, make this sermon a one-size-fit-all sermon, God. Reach our hearts. Let this be a milestone sermon, Father, that our lives change after this in real and tangible ways, Father. Use me and my words, Lord. Represent me here. Let me be in your shadow. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're going to be jumping right into Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, first book of the Bible. Chapter 22, first verse of that chapter. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
It says, now it came to pass after these things. And we're just going to stop right there. It says, now it came to pass after these things. And so when we read the Bible, right, it's one big movie. We're jumping in the middle of a scene right now, and now it says, after these things, what are these things? Well, chapter 1 has a boatload of drama. It opens up that chapter with Abraham lying to Abimelech, the king, saying, this is my sister, not my wife. Abimelech then takes Sarah to be his wife. Then he regrets that decision because God is communicating some things, and then he gives the wife back, talks to Abraham. Abraham says, well, she's my half-sister. And he's like, well, that's not the point, right? This is your wife. Take her back, please, right? That's how this chapter 21 opens, right? We have some drama at home. He has a side woman and a side baby living in the same home, right? This is when he sleeps with Hagar, has Ishmael. And he was just listening to his wife, Sarah, who wanted him to sleep with her, right? Because she was impatient. And then she got mad at poor Abraham for doing what she said to do in the first place. I'm sure there's men in here that can relate. Right? You're just doing what your lady tell you, and then she get mad at you that you did it. Well, come on now. Right? So he boots her out. He was distressed. He moves her to the side, so you're going to have to find another place to stay. Sarah's now happy. The home is a little bit happier, right? And then it ends chapter 21 with Abraham striking a business deal with Abimelech over water rights. He says, yo, at work, people have been arguing over water. Let me get this one. You get those. We'll square away the deal. And Abimelech said, fine. And so we come into this. Now it came to pass after these things. Really, Abraham is beginning to live his best life. The drama at home is gone. The drama at work is gone. I got my wife back. Abraham is living his best life. Anyone in here living their best life right now? Anyone living their chapter 21? A whole bunch of drama. Drama at home, drama at the workplace, right? There's a little nugget, there's a little promise in here before we begin. It says, now it came to pass. It'll pass. Your chapter 21 will pass. As we continue, it says, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham said, here I, say it with me now, am. Now, I don't know in your household how it is, but when you get called by name, it's usually not a good thing. Right? At home, my wife calls me love, babe, honey bunches. But when I do something wrong, Victor. And as a man, we've practiced our first response to this emergency. I didn't do it. Whatever happened, I didn't do it. Right? But we see God here using Abraham, and Abraham replies, not with I didn't do it, but here I am. Right? Let's unpack this. Let's unpack the onion a little bit. Right? When are the times in which we say, here I am, or I am here? Right? We say it in school. Right? Roll call. Victor and you. Here, present, here. Right? Location. Right? We also say it while being supportive to someone. I remember my grandmother has a lung fibrosis. This was early on. This was 3 years ago. And she didn't have a tank at home. She was just kind of beginning to understand what was happening. And she's having sort of an asthma attack. Fibrosis, people with lung fibrosis sort of have these asthma attack. And I see Bill there shaking its head. And so it all kind of starts with a cough, and then they can't end up breathing. She calls emergency. She calls me. I meet her in the hospital, small little room, as big as that room right there. And she looks over at me. She's crying. She's in a gown. She can't breathe. She's hard of breathing. She barely gets the word out. And she just asks me, looks me dead in the eye, and says, "Am I going to die tonight?" What do you say? Right? So I just grab her hand, and I was honest. I said, "I don't know, but I'm here." Right? This idea of being here is more than just location. It's about being supportive. And there's other situations, and when we say we're here, it's more of availability, right? You get the call from someone, "Hey, you know, I'm negative in the bank, something happened, I got no money for this, I'm here. Whatever you need, I'm here," right? And so we see this development here with Abraham. He says, "Here I am." And what's happening here is we're going to see this theme throughout this chapter, this language throughout this chapter. Although Abraham is living his best life, right? More peaceful than ever, the workplace better than ever. We're squaring away deals. He's saying, "God, I'm available. I am here." Right? Let's see what God says in verse 2. Then he said, "Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." Sort of a worst case scenario when you're living your best life. Your son has just been born. He's growing up strong. Everything's good at home. The wife is happy. Amen to that. Right? The workplace. And now I'm being asked to do something, right? I love the care. Right? Look at verse 2. Look at the language here. Then he said, "Take now your son, your only son, whom you love." Right? Even though God is asking you to do something, right? And in this situation, sacrifice the thing that means the most to you. There's an understanding there. There's a compassion there. And as we begin to unpack this chapter, we're going to see more and more of God being understanding. So Abraham rose, verse 3, early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. So this ends kind of section one, right? It's what is your response? Here is the commission. What is your response? So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey. And I love that idea, right? Rising up early and saddling your donkey. That's a sermon for another day. He preps. Verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And I couldn't imagine just how tough those 3 days were in between the duty, the commission, and then fulfilling that act, right? It's funny, this chapter, the author doesn't put details in emotion. We're going to touch on that in a second. But there's just action and reaction happening. There's no emotion here. Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." He says at the end there, "We will come back to you." The commission was to kill the son. But he says, "We." Let's take a live poll here. Do we think that he said "we" because Abraham is a smart man. And he's contextually kind of understands if he says, I come back, there's going to be questions from the son and questions from the men. How many people believe that it was sort of Abraham's intelligence, his wisdom? Okay, couple. How many believe that it's just sort of disobedience? He just doesn't think that God is going to go through with this sort of thing. A little defiant, no one thinks that. How many think it's just faith? Either win, lose, or draw, my boy's coming back down. I don't know how, but it's just going to happen. Okay. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, right, verse 6, and laid it on Isaac, his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. Sort of a worst-case scenario here for Isaac, but, right, Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, Pops, Dad, Daddy, that's in the Victor International version, but it says my father there. You don't know what is about to come out, but the child is astute. He says, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. And so we see as we kind of unpack, let's pause, let's continue to peel back the onion here. He says, my son, God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering. You know, there's some real faith happening here. So the two of them went together. I absolutely adore kind of what's happening here in this verse. This isn't an Abraham and God versus Isaac moment. They are in this together. They're united. It's the second time we've already read they went into this together. And I love that idea because in these last days, there are some of us who have feel like we've sacrificed the thing that matters most to us. Or maybe we're in the midst of sacrificing the thing that means most to us. Or maybe we're just battling. Maybe we're just in 21. And I just, chapter 21, but I just love this idea of the two of them going together, being together. And Mike was so inspirational in sharing how he feels. You know, I have family members who are afraid to tell me the blessings in their life. Not even the bad stuff, but the good stuff as well. The reality is, as we just pause here the sermon, we are in this together. Amen. Amen. Can I get another amen there? Amen. We are in this together. We are all running the race together. We are all headed to the same finish line. Amen. True availability. We think that availability has to do with having time. Right? We think, oh, there's a Bible study. I don't know if I'm going to have the time. The person calls you, hey, I'd like to, you know, read the Bible together or, you know, come over for lunch. I don't know. Let's see if I have the time. We'll see if I'm available. But there's a difference, church, this morning between having the time and making the time. I want to circle all the way back. Verse 1, when he says, here I am, there's an invisible dot, dot, dot. I'm here to make the time, God. In my best life or in my worst life, I'm here to make the time. Look at this. Verse 7 now. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, what did he say there? Here I am. Isn't that beautiful? The whole point here, and we're going to see this a third time sprinkled in, but the whole idea is that when I'm truly available to God and I'm making time, it translates to me being available to my people, to my family. Not when I have time. No, I'm coming. Hey, you need me? I'm there. I'm making time. I was talking to a young mother 3 weeks ago before I went to Portland. And she was telling me about the time she doesn't have. And she was telling me that she doesn't have time for God in the morning. She works very early. She would have to wake up at 3:30, something crazy in the morning, and that is very early. I asked her what time she went to bed. She was like, oh, well, like 11:30. Right? There's a difference between having the time and making the time. It's not that you don't have the time. You do. You're just not making it. That distinction is super clear. Verse 9. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. But Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound up Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now, we don't know what happens here, right? We don't know what Abraham is saying to Isaac. I mean, Abraham's about 120-ish years old at this time. His boy is young, could overpower him easily. There's some consent happening here, that's clear. But we don't know, you know, what type of emotion is happening, or if they're hugging each other for the last time. And I sat on this verse for a while, verse 9, and I thought to myself, why did the author not put in any emotion in this verse? There's no verse in here that says, and he was troubled, and he was faint, and he was angry. There's none of that. It's devoid. And I'm asking myself, why? Where is any of the emotion? I'm an emotional person. And the reason is because it doesn't matter. His actions are speaking louder than his feelings. And in this society, in 2018... we're moving off of how we feel. There's a difference between the thermostat and the thermometer. The thermometer tells you the degrees that's outside. If it's 55, the thermometer says it's 55. If it's 85, the thermometer says it's 85. God is not asking us to be thermometers. He's asking us to be thermostats. Whether it's 85 or 8 degrees out, the thermostat says 70. And in my house, 74. A little too hot for me. Right? But at 74, win, lose, or draw, it's there, staying the same degrees in my home. God is asking us today to not be thermometers. Are y'all with me? But to be thermostats. Steady. Let the feelings go up and down. But do what I'm asking. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And now the author puts in a tremendous amount of detail. He stretches out, he grabs to slay his son. The intention is there. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. One more time. Look at the verse. Verse 11. So Abraham said, say it with me, here I am. Do we see it? Are we getting it now? In the moment where you're about to kill your son and you hear God's name, I'd be like, what you want from me now? Want me to chop his head off? What's next? We think it's so easy, but to hear your name again from God is like, hold up now. You need Sarah up here too? And the availability doesn't stop. It continues through the climax of the moment with the knife in hand, ready to... Verse 12, and he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God. You know, let's head right back up now. For verse 1, Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. This test is, this pop quiz is curated by God. We have a God so invested in our salvation, He'll give us a test, not only to reveal Him to us, but to reveal us to us. This verse is so powerful. Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. I just wanted to flip to this verse here. He says he didn't withhold his son, but his son was never dead. Are y'all with me? Check this out. 1 Samuel 22 says, and I'll read it, don't turn. I have it digitally, I had there much faster. So Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices?" Right? The Lord has great joy in burnt offerings and sacrifices. "As in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold," listen to the language here, "to obey is better than sacrifice." Intentions matter more than even the action. Are y'all with me this morning? "You have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Verse 13. "Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by the thorns." Isn't it amazing? You know, we get caught up in feeling that we're not looking for the solution that's right behind us. The ram was right there, and we don't even know how long. But God has already provided the solution. Right? Sacrificing something for God, or even wanting to, the intention, God is watching all, right? I was thinking about this idea for quite a while. I was like, okay, so Abraham is the father of faith. And in John 8:39, it says, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham." Right? You're going to do what it takes to follow God. And I was in deep in thought, and God, well, how do we become more available? How do we become and be in a place where we can sacrifice the friend that leads us to do the thing that we don't want to do, or the website, or the bar, or the video game? How do we get to even that place? Check this promise out now. Now we turn together. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, in fact. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, and I will start in 12, but it says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling," and here comes the promise of a lifetime. "For it is God who works in you both to do the will and to do for his good pleasure." I'm gonna read that again, and we're going to unpack that now. "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." So even when I don't want to, I can ask God for the want to. Can I get an amen this morning? Amen. even when I don't want to, this verse is promising me that I can ask God for the want to and the help to do what he's asking me. A relationship with God is so easy. Are you with me?
Amen.
All I got to do is say, God, I don't even want to get up in the morning and give devotion to you. Can you help me want to? Because I don't want to right now. And the promise in the Word of God is, yes, I'm going to help you want to, and I'm going to help you fulfill what I'm asking you to do. We see these patriarchs as this unattainable spiritual life. How can I? Well, when will I ever? Well, it just starts day by day.
Amen.
I was listening to Tom Brady talk early this year, and Pastor loves Tom Brady. He'd love this. Tom Brady, debatably one of the best quarterbacks of all time. I'm sure we've all heard the name. I'm not too fond, but what he said was beautiful. He was in practice, and he was working on his throwing form for 3 hours. And all he was doing is when he currently throws the ball before this practice session, he would throw it about right here. And he was just trying to get the form to be 3 degrees closer to his body. And so he's sitting there for 3 hours working on getting his arm 3 degrees closer to his body. He achieves the success after 3 hours. He starts walking off. The trainer then goes to the camera and says, listen, Tom doesn't get excited anymore for the big things. He gets excited for getting better at 1% every day. 1% every day. The point is, I'm not going to wake up tomorrow and be completely available and ready and willing to kill my whatever that thing is, right? It's, I'm just going to get up in the morning and saddle my donkey. Get ready to work. Let me ask God for help this morning. Before I go to bed, let me put the phone down. Right? It's 1% better for the rest of eternity. Finishing verse 13. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it for a burnt offering instead of his son. Amen to that. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will, say that with me now, provide. Let's change the name of our homes this afternoon to the Lord will provide. I want to read this last verse to you. I found this so intriguing. And it's all the way in Hebrews. Don't turn. I'll read it to you. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. That was a promise that God had made in chapter 21. Abraham concluding, that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. The scripture is letting us know that Abraham had so much faith. He was going to kill him because he believed so much in the promise made that even if I kill him, he's going to literally raise from the dead because God told me Isaac was the boy of blessing. Our Bible is made of 66 books, Old Testament, New Testament, right? The Old Testament is a promise made. The New Testament is a promise kept. God is a God who keeps his promises. Can I get an amen this morning? And he's promised us all salvation, but he's also promised that he's not going to forsake us. Those are promises made. I remember this was early in my marriage. I was working for a Christian organization, and to put it super light, they weren't Christian at all. And so I quit. They wanted me to be someone of position, and I declined, and I left. I'm out of here. And so my wife and I, two of my children weren't born. I was living on 61st and off of Forest Home. I don't know our address, but it was 61st. And so those first 6 months when you quit your job are super rough, right? Because everything you have is adjusted to like a more income, right? And about 2-3 weeks before I quit my job, I had a good friend of mine literally just give me a 1986 Chevy Cavalier convertible red. Beautiful car. It worked. You know, it needed a little bit of, you know, love. But it worked. It turned on. And about 3-4 months after I quit my job, we were struggling financially. Anybody been like at zero in the bank? 23 cents, 27 cents? Negative? Okay, I saw the little minus. I didn't even look any further. I just closed the app. Let me go ahead and pray. So my wife is stressed, of course. I'm stressed, right? This is early in our marriage. We have a baby. And so we just get on our knees and literally tears. Literally, we were crying and praying to God, crying out like, God, I left for integrity. Come on now. See this through. 24 hours later, we live in the upstairs. There's this family that lives below us. We don't particularly get along with them. And we hear a banging subtly on the door outside. So we hear kind of this hard banging. We think nothing of it. Maybe someone's going to pick someone up. And then, you know, who knows? It never has to do with us. We hear the banging again. I'm staying in my house. I'm not getting up. Little boy comes. Now we hear a knock. It's a little boy from downstairs. He's like, sir, there's an old white guy outside for you. I went, Dale? I'm like, Dale's here? The only old white guy I know is Dale. That's exactly what I said. Dale's here? What do you need from me? Okay. So I go downstairs, open up the door, older vintage gentleman. And he's like, hey, I never take this route, but I was just picking up my grandson. I never take this route. I drove in front of your car. I see a 1986 red Chevy Cavalier convertible. Is that yours? I was told that's yours. And I said, yeah. He says, verbatim, I'm a collector. Can I buy your car? Yes, you could buy it right now. But out of nowhere, out of nowhere comes the ram in the thicket. Do you see what I'm saying now? A little availability, a little obedience goes a long way with God. Can I get an amen? Amen. As we begin to close, Abraham named the place the Lord will provide and said this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Verse 15, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Do you see that compassion running through this verse, this chapter? Blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of your enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. I just want to close with this, and we all know this very, very famous verse, faith without works is... How many of us have faith this morning? A lot of us. The question is bold, but how many of us are showing our faith? Right? Because that's what's happening here. I'm here when it's easy. when I'm living my best life, but am I here when I have to grab the knife and kill the thing that I love the most? And if that's too hard to grab the knife, that's too hard to go up the mountain, it's even too hard to get up early, then the promise is there. Ask for God for the want to. And be honest, because I don't want to. And then help me, God, fulfill what you're asking me to do. The reward is great in heaven. Verse 17 gives us a glimpse. Blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply. Can I get an amen this morning? Come on now. We got a God that blessings on blessings on blessings on blessings now. For minimal effort. Minimal effort. If the thing is holding you back, take a second. Pray. Take 2 seconds. It's minimal effort. It costs us nothing to talk to God. We're going to sing our song, Here I Am to Worship. But if you're willing to take a stand in your spiritual life, stand up with me this evening, this morning. And let's tell God in our prayers, we're available. We are here tonight when we go to sleep, tomorrow when we wake up. Let's tell God, hey, God, I'm here. Let's sing our song. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Abba God, we are here. Father, whether we're living our best life or our worst life, God, help us be here for you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Help us be available truly to you, God. And then translate that to our people in our church. Father, we are suffering in these last days, God. The distractions, the temptations, the death, the finances, the home, the spouse, the marriage, the family, the job, the car. God, there is so much going on in 2018, Father. The politics, the government, Lord. God, in all of this soil of confusion, God, let the seed of faith grow, Lord.
Amen.
Father, if we're not feeling it, if we don't have the desire or the want to be here and available to you, God, help us. Help us want to today, God.
Amen.
And when you help us desire and want to, Father, help us see it through, God. Lord, we love you. We are all sitting here because we love you. We recognize you as God and Savior. Father, you've made many a promises, and you keep every single one. We're asking that you remind us, God, of the promises you've kept in our lives. When we feel weakest, help us be strong.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for everything you've done in our lives and what you will do. And we cannot wait to see you in heaven, Jesus.
Amen.
In your name we pray. Let us all say, Amen.
Amen.